He's gonna stop.
Today's Bible reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. In July 2021, I went to the Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary with my uncles, aunties and cousins. We had a great time feeding the birds and hanging out together. As we were leaving, we went out through the gift shop and we had a bit of a look around. There were lots of great things to look at, but one thing really caught my eye. In a big barrel near the counter, all the crates with the Currumbin Wildlife logo and the kangaroo on them. There were hundreds of pocket knives. They were great, and they were only $2 each. But there was only one problem. Each knife also had a name engraved on it. Now, I'm not sure if you know it or not, but my name, Eamon, isn't exactly common. My name never appears in those little personalized things you see in gift shops. But always the trickster, my dad, said that if I could find one with my name on it, he would get it for me. So while I wasn't very confident of finding a pocket knife with my name on it, I had a look around at the barrel just in case. Samuel, David, Adam, Michael, Billy. After a few minutes of digging through piles and piles of pocket knives, what do you think we found? That's right. A pocket knife with my name on it. Well, kind of. It actually says Grant on it. That's my last name. It was the closest thing I was going to find. So, my dad, who thought he was going to get away without having to buy one for me, had to get it. Much to my mom's horror. After all, I was only 8 years old at the time. What was I going to do with a pocket knife besides cutting off one of my fingers? I'm not really sure what she was worried about, though. After all, she has one of her own. My pocket knife is great. It has lots of cool features. There's a nail file in case my nails are getting a bit long. There is also a corkscrew if I ever need to open a bottle with a cork in it. And there is a screwdriver if I ever need to fix or break my toys. There's a saw, which is good for sawing wood for a campfire. There are some scissors for cutting open a packet of sausages for the campfire. And of course, there is also a knife to cut up the sausages once they are cooked. This pocket knife is a lot like prayer. They both have multiple functions. They can both fix things. They can both open things. They can both cut through things. They are both really helpful tools if you use them the way they are meant to be used. Now, most people, whether they are Christians or not, know about prayer. Prayer is always being referenced in pop culture. Prayer is sung about, like in many songs, like I Say a Little Prayer by Aretha Franklin, or one of my favorites, Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi. TV shows and movies also make references to prayer, like this example.
In gratitude, I present you this offering of cookies and milk. If you want me to eat them for you, give me no sign. That will be done.
Morning, everyone. How are we? Thank you for having me. That is my son, Eamon. And yes, I am the father who thought I wouldn't have to buy him a pocket knife, but no, we found one with his name on it. You can come and check it out later on. And it's actually a real pocket knife. I've actually cut myself twice in the last week with it. He's fine. And no, he didn't break his arm using it. That arm was broken at school. So that's a different thing. Thank you for having me here this morning. And I just want to thank, on behalf of our church in Knowing North, I want to thank Village for the partnership that we've entered into with you guys. Now, the way that Jeff said it there was more of a two-way thing. I was worried, if anything, it was going to be more of a one-way towards helping us, but that's okay. That's the way these things work. Ralph texted me yesterday morning and said, "Hey, by the way, I'm sick. Can you race down the highway and preach here this morning?" And I said, "Yeah, that's fine. No worries. I could do that." So we're doing great. And Ralph has already started helping and by blessing us up at United North. He comes up once a week now to help at the, not to help in the op shop, but to be there as part of a pastoral care for us up at United North. So we're really blessed by Ralph and you guys, and we really want to thank you from the church in United North. Say thank you to you guys for all the support you've given us over the past couple of months. You may not know you've already been supporting us over the last couple of months, but we do really appreciate it. And we, the next 6 months, we're really hoping for something special happening as we move forward. Getting on with our sermon. Now, much like Homer Simpson, as Amy said, prayer in this cultural context, it's usually about the same thing. Is this going to work? I better turn it on first. How about I do that, Pete? There we go. Oh, go back one. That one, there we go. All right. Oh, we don't want to look again. That was good, though. All right. Much like Homer Simpson, prayer in these cultural contexts is usually about the same thing, asking God for something. But as Eamon just explained to us, prayer is much more than a time that we can use to simply send up a request to God or a time to make a deal with him, such as Homer just did. God, if you just do this one little thing for us, I promise to insert your circumstances there. So if we know that prayer is so much more powerful than that and so much more important than that, why do we limit prayer to this one thing when it's capable of so much more? Prayer really is the equivalent of a pocket knife for the Christian. So this morning we're going to have a look at the tool that we all have access to and is vital to the life of a Christian. In fact, prayer is so vital to the Christian walk that Martin Luther said, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." If prayer is so important to our daily lives, why limit it to just a laundry list of things for God to do for us when it's capable of so much more? So, thinking about our pocket knife, let's take a look at some of the amazing things that prayer can do for us. When I was younger, I would have loved to have had a pocket knife like that. I think I did have one, but I've lost it to the sands of time. Now, every pocket knife has this one thing. Some things may change, but every pocket knife has a blade on it. Now, a blade is normally an offensive weapon. Whether it be a sword or a dagger or a knife, the blade is used to attack and to protect. So, how does having a blade relate to prayer in the life of a Christian? Aren't we all called to be peaceful, peacemakers? Well, like David, you could pray for your enemies to be defeated. You see, in Psalm 3, verse 7, David calls on God to break the teeth of his enemies. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I have never personally prayed for God to break the teeth of one of my enemies. However, I have prayed and known of other people to pray that God would intervene proactively in matters that affected them. Now, my father, some of you may know, most of you won't, my father is an Iron Church minister. He's up in Mackay. And he is one of the most gentle men that I know. He's also now 75, so it's made him a bit more gentle. But as a prayer, he is ruthless in his prayer. For instance, Mum and Dad many years ago had this neighbour. After all us kids had left home, Mum and Dad had this neighbour. And he's not the kind of person you wanted living next door or across the road from you. There was shouting and yelling, violence towards his partner. Really not the person you wanted to be living next door. So what did my dad do? Well, like any true pastor and Christian, he decided he was going to pray for that man. And he was going to pray two things. The first thing, obviously, was that he would learn the love of God and repent of his ways and be a changed man. And the second thing that he prayed for was that if that wasn't going to happen, that God would remove this man from next door and send him on his way. Probably guess what happened. And no, he is not now an elder in their church. It took a few months. But one day, Mum and Dad were outside doing the gardening, and they saw a police car drive up and park outside this man's house. Now, they don't know what happened. They don't know what was said. All they know is that very soon after that visit, that man left and never came back. Now, just in case you might be thinking that that was just a coincidence and these things happen all the time on the Gold Coast, we know all about those kind of businesses. We, Fiona and I, we also had a similar neighbour to that when we moved into our house up in Upper Coomera, the guy over the backyard. Same sort of thing, yelling, swearing, breaking things, violence towards his partner and things like that. And after telling Mum and Dad about this new neighbour of ours, Dad and Mum decided to go back into their prayer, as well as us. And guess what happened to that man? He went as well. Within about 2 or 3 months, the house was sold and he was gone. Praise God. So you see, prayer has a way of being a weapon that protects us and keeps us safe. In Psalm 32, it says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." And we all know in Psalm 23 that it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When we have prayer as a weapon, we really do have nothing to fear. Now, the next tool on our pocket knife is the bottle opener, or the can opener, this one here. Some of you may not know that. There's also a little screwdriver there, but the bottle opener. Now, in much the same way that a can opener or a bottle can open a bottle or a can for us, prayer can also open up things for us as well. Does anyone know who this gentleman is? And it's not Abraham Lincoln. Anyone know? Have you heard of George Mueller? Oh, we're all going to learn something today. So George Mueller was a pastor and evangelist and a director of the Ashley Down Orphanage in Bristol in England. Born in Germany in 1805, so many, many, many years ago, George's early years didn't really live up to the life that he was going to live later on when he became a pastor. And despite attending a Bible college himself as a child, or a Christian school, he would regularly spend his time making fun of and ridiculing the Christians while down at the pub and in between visits to the jailhouse. But one night, after being invited to an off-campus Bible event by a friend of his, and initially only going just so he could make fun of the Christians who were there, George ended up attending this meeting every night that week. And by the end of the week, he was on his knees praying by his bed for God's forgiveness. Now, George would learn that prayer was his greatest ally. Fast forward a few years, and having been too sick to serve in the military, George was able to become a missionary and move to England. And while pastoring a small church in Bristol, George began to notice as he walked through the streets every day that there were lots and lots of children without parents. And he could really see the need for an orphanage in his town. Now, through prayer, God provided a building, people to run it, furniture, and money for food and clothing. Because of his prayers, God always provided for George and the children in his orphanage. Now, the story I originally heard from my father many years ago about George Mueller goes like this. This is just one example. "The children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat," the house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take all 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the tables. George thanked God for the food, which wasn't there, and simply waited. You see, George knew that God would provide the food for the children, as he always had. And wouldn't you know it, within minutes, a baker knocked at the door. He said, "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I could not sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning, so I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I'll bring it in now." Within minutes of this happening, there was another knock on the door. This time it was the milkman. His milk cart had broken down outside the orphanage, and the milk would spoil by the time the wheel was able to be fixed. So he simply asked George if he would like the free milk. And George Mueller just smiled as the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for the 300 thirsty children. It's reported that George Mueller received in donations close to, in today's money, about $130 million. He never once asked anyone for money. It was purely through the prayers. That certainly is some doors that was opened. Imagine what doors could be opened for us if we prayed in much the same way. And this is what Mueller said about prayer. Never begin anything without going to God about it in prayer. Now, a little known tool on the pocket knife, and most of you may not even know it's there, is this little thing, a key ring. Now you might think, well, a key ring's not really that useful, really. But it is. It's fantastic. It helps things from becoming lost. And if we put it into the situation of prayer, it helps us not be lost. Not God. God's never lost, but we are. Prayer is like the key ring that helps us hold on to God and keep him close at all times. You know, it's pretty easy to hang on to God when times are good. And living down here, right on the ocean, it's easy to get up, go for a walk along the beach, have your prayer time, meet with your friends, with your small tables, talk about God. When things are going well, it's really easy to do that and hang on really tight. But it's much more difficult and different in the hard times when things aren't going quite as you planned. It's like being on a boat in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. You can't see where you're going. You don't know how long it will last for, and you don't know what to hang on to. And that's where prayer comes in. Psalm 145 reminds us that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. You see, prayer allows us to communicate to God in times of difficulty and lets us hold on to him, much like this key ring. You know, in the Bible, there are many stories of people holding on to God through prayer in times of need. In the book of Daniel alone, we have two famous stories, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They praised and prayed to God in the face of the fiery furnace. And a few chapters later, Daniel, we know, prayed and held on to God, knowing full well that he would be thrown into the lion's den if he continued, which he did. And let's not forget in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, we read that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And we know what happened with that story. There was an earthquake and the doors were thrown open. Yet they didn't escape. They waited. Okay? But it's about the praying and the praising God. Now maybe you are going through a bit of a hard time at the moment. Maybe you haven't been reaching out to God in prayer and holding on to him. And you know what? It's difficult to do that. Someone once explained prayer and physical and spiritual practices a bit like this. They said that spiritual hunger is the opposite of physical hunger. Now, physically, when you don't eat, you get hungry. And the less that you eat, the hungrier you get. Okay? But as soon as you start to eat, you feel full and you no longer are hungry. Whereas prayer and spiritual practices are the exact opposite of that. The longer you go without prayer, the less you feel like you need it. And the less desire to do it. But likewise, the more you do it, the more you want to do it. All it takes is one act of prayer followed by another. Even if you don't know what to pray for, just spend time with God. The next time, it will be easier. And the next time, and the next time. Whatever your circumstances, good or bad, are you taking time each day to pray and hold on to God? If you do, you'll find that, like it says in that verse of Philippians 4 that Eamon read at the beginning, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, finally, we come to the last tool on the pocket knife. And this is the fun one, isn't it? What is it? This one here. The corkscrew. What is a corkscrew used for? Jonty, you're too young. You shouldn't know this yet. What is the corkscrew used for? What's the corkscrew used for? opening up a bottle, celebrating, dare I say, even rejoicing. How often do we just sit and pray in celebration of what God has done for us? Here's a question for you. Do we spend as much time celebrating God as we do imploring on Him? Do we spend most of our time asking God for things or thanking Him for who He is? Do we praise God in prayer like the angels in Isaiah chapter 6 and later on again in Luke chapter 2? Or, like me, is it normally a quick rush of thanks before we move on to the next thing that God has we've asked God for? Or do we totally forget altogether to thank God for the wonderful things He's done? And not just thanking God for the things He's done, how often do we just thank God for who He is and we don't even bring up ourselves at all? Now, lately, you may have been praying for a new job or a new situation at work. Or maybe you've no longer are working, but you're praying for the health of someone that you love or health of your own. Whatever the situation may be, once that situation has been resolved, make sure you take the time to celebrate God for that. A few weeks ago at Uniting North, we had a big prayer in the middle of something, a big prayer for a number of people in our church who were quite sick. A couple of the older people, one's in hospital, one had a hip surgery, and Eamon just broke his arm, and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, so today when we gathered, we were able to celebrate and thank God for those people's return to health. It was really important that we took that time to stop and thank God for answering the prayers that we'd done. Whatever the situation is, once we've prayed for something and God has either given it to us or answered us in some way, we need to make sure that we thank Him and celebrate Him. Do we do as it says in Psalm 95, verse 2? Do we come before His presence with thanksgiving and shout joyfully to Him with psalms? So this morning, as we make our way out of this almost 100-year-old church, not long ago now, and move on with our lives, let us remember that prayer is not something that just be whipped out in times of need, but it's a tool to be used in all areas of our lives. To protect ourselves from our loved ones, to open doors for the work of God to be done through our lives, to help us hold on to God in both the good times and the difficult ones, and to celebrate all the wonderful things He has done in our lives. So this morning, I want to leave you just with one final verse, and this is the challenge that I have for you this week. Okay? And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and it simply says, pray without ceasing. That's it. That's the entire verse. I think verse 16 is actually shorter again. But that's what we need to do. This week, can you please make it a priority to pray without ceasing? Use the tool that you've been given in all areas of your life to praise and worship God. Will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful act of prayer that we have. Whether we use it to pray for protection like David did, to pray to open doors and opportunities like George Mueller, to pray to hold on to You in times of trouble like Paul and Silas and all those other people in the Bible, or to pray as a celebration like the angels. Give us the heart and desire to pray without ceasing this week, Lord. And as we go this week, help us to remember that we have no reason to be anxious about anything, and that through prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, we can present our requests to You, knowing that Your peace, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen.